Mark 1, 40-45. And it reads, "A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, 'If you choose, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I do choose, be made clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and begged to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed in the country, and people came to him from every quarter." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray first. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that they reflect your will, that we hear your message and know where you are calling us to be in faith. Lord, we ask that our reflections be acceptable in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So I want us to continue to look at holding space. And last week we talked about how we need to hold space for ourselves first before we can even attempt to hold space for others. And believe it or not, holding space for another person is a choice we will make. But I thought it would be fun first to do kind of one of those informal polls about choices you make in your life. So raise your hand if you had food or breakfast before you came to church. Oh, pretty good number. Bring me something next time. And raise your hand if you brush your teeth before you eat or after you eat breakfast. Okay, so more before, here, I'm a before I eat person in the morning, and Phil's an after he eats person in the morning. You know, it all depends. Now raise your hand if you are a coffee person in the morning or more of a juice or water person. So coffee drinkers, and what about juice or water or non-coffee drinks? High five. And raise your hand if you pick out your clothes the night before, or if you chose what you're going to wear this morning, raise your hand. So raise your hand if you chose what you wore this morning. Okay. And then now raise your hand if you chose your clothes last night or had an idea. Okay. Oh, a couple of just the small pre-planners. Oh, Katie, very impressive. She's already started. So as you see, even before we arrive to church, we make many decisions in the morning. Coming to church itself is a major decision. And they say in life we will make many decisions. Even in a 24-hour period, you make over 50 decisions, they say. There are minor decisions like the daily things of what to wear, to shower or take a bath, to the path you take to work or school or errands you want to do, what you will read on your computer or watch on TV at night. You will make all those choices. And of course, there are major decisions that we make in our life. What you will choose as a college major, a career job you will take, where you will live, what doctor you will have as your primary doctor. You will make a major decision or choice of who you will date or who you will marry or who you will decide to have children with. Everything you make in life is a choice. Coming to church, committing to be at church, is a choice as well. But I want to remind us that the two most important choices we will ever make in our whole lives is first, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and second, then to share the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So when we talk about holding space, and as a reminder, it's printed in your bulletin what it means to hold space. When you say for yourself you will hold space, that you accept to walk on your own faith journey, that you will not judge yourself, that you will not feel inadequate, that you won't try to fix things, you'll trust God instead, that you won't try to impact the outcome of your life. When you hold space for yourself, accept God's unconditional love, then you learn more about yourself. When you make that choice, you are also then choosing to accept Jesus Christ in your life. For that's what it means when you have Jesus Christ in your life. You receive God's unconditional love. You are not judged by others. And you also know yourself on your faith journey better. That is an important decision that you make in your life. And then when you choose to have Christ in your life, you can then choose to share the love of Christ to others. And that's what it also means to hold space for other people. When you not judge other people, when you walk with them on their faith journey, and when you continue to be showing unconditional love to them. So we want to live full lives of faith, to accept Christ in our lives, to hold space for ourselves. And I remind us of the words from John 3:16 that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Our wonderful children's Sunday school class, if you came to the Thanksgiving luncheon at Castellar Elementary School, they read this scripture passage. It was really interesting because, and Gaius, correct me if I'm wrong, they read John 3:16 in English, in Chinese, and in Cantonese. In Cantonese and Mandarin. So it's very impressive that even our Sunday school kids knew John 3:16 in not just English, but also in Mandarin and Cantonese. We hear the words of John 3:16 reminding us that God so loved the world, so much his love for the world was so great, that he gave his only Son, his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the most amazing choice we can make, to have eternal life when we choose Jesus Christ. When we say we do that and hold space for ourselves to accept God's unconditional love, to not judge ourselves harshly, to not feel inadequate, to know that we are precious in God's eyes, then we are doing an amazing thing for ourselves. And then we are ready then to choose to hold space for other people. Now, when I talk about holding space for other people, I'm sure we all have someone in our minds, someone who might be lost, someone who does not know God's love yet, or someone who has rejected Jesus Christ. I know we all have someone. If I were to ask you now to write that person's name down, or a person's name, a friend, a coworker, a classmate, a relative even, I'm sure we all have someone in our lives that we know needs God's love. And then we need to choose to help these people, to be on a faith journey with them, to hold space for them. And that's where I think things get complicated. And when I was preparing the sermon series of holding space for others, I, on my desk, have a sort of notepad where I list some people's names. One, to be honest, is a relative. One is a friend who used to work in the Chinatown area, and another is a high school friend who I've reconnected with through Facebook. And each person, I say, oh, this is a great person. I'm going to hold space for them. But then they do things that make me say, oh, it's going to be so hard to hold space for them. The person who I really want to work with, who then says to me at breakfast one day, well, you know, I'm an atheist, you know. Or another person that promises to do things with me, and then 5 minutes before we're supposed to meet, texts me and says, oh, I can no longer meet. I get so angry at them. So it's easy to choose who we want to hold space for, but I think it's hard to commit to hold space for them. So in this morning's sermon title, to Do You Choose?, we want to think about when we choose to hold space for someone, do we really commit to doing that? And we look at this morning's scripture passage as Jesus encounters a leper and how he chose to hold space for that person. We know the chapter 1 of Mark is filled with all the many things that Jesus did. Jesus became the Word made flesh, and Jesus right away as an adult was already doing all these things. We know he was healing people, we know he was helping people, we know he was beginning to preach, and he even called the disciples all in the chapter 1 of Mark. So by the time in Mark chapter 1 verses 40 to 45 when Jesus encounters a leper, keep in mind that he's done so many things already. And we know that the leper came begging to Jesus, kneeling before him as well. And the leper says to Jesus, if you choose, you can make me clean. The leper is saying to Jesus, if you choose, you can make me clean. Theologian James Brooks, as he reviews chapter 1 of Mark, he talks about leprosy and what it means in those times. He says, for a person in those times who had leprosy, it's a disease, and it means many things medically, religiously, socially, and financially for a person who has leper or a disease. Medically, that person is afflicted with a disease that can be crippling, that can be harmful, that can shorten their life. spiritually, the person is seen as unclean, so they think that they have a spiritually unclean soul, even possibly possessed by demons. And then lepers socially, by then, are outcasts of their society. People fear that if they touch them, they will get that disease. People don't like that they're dirty or crippled, so they are outcasts socially in society. And then lepers also, that time, of course, then have not a way of working, of making money. No one would hire them. No one would help them. They were reduced to begging financially. So this lowest person, this person who had medical, religious, social, and financial problems, is the person talking to Jesus, to saying to Jesus, if you choose, you may make me clean. Think about how radical that is. This person who is seen so low in society is telling Jesus, if you choose, he's giving Jesus the choice to choose, to heal him, to make him clean. And we see in Mark 1, verse 41, Jesus' reaction, what he chooses to do. It says that Jesus stretches out his hand and touches him and says to him, I do choose, be made clean. Jesus chose to help the leper, to make him clean. It's an amazing thing to see that he chose that. But there's something that happens very interestingly in Mark 1, verse 41. For the beginning of verse 41 starts out by saying, Jesus was moved by compassion, and he stretched out his hand and touched him. If you look at different translations of this scripture passage, the word compassion is sometimes shown in different forms. I believe the NRSV says Jesus is moved by compassion. The King James Version says Jesus is moved by pity. There's even some Greek translations that say Jesus is moved by anger. That's interesting to think about Jesus not just being compassionate, but having pity, but having anger. Do we think about Jesus being angry at someone? Think about that. Jesus reacts with those things, with pity, with anger, with compassion, all these ranges of emotions as he's making this important decision. And that is normal for us as well. When I say we must choose to hold space for someone, we will think about being compassionate towards someone. We, if we're honest with ourselves, will also be angry with the person we choose to hold space for. And yes, we will also have pity for them. But if we choose to hold space for someone, we must be prepared to let all those things go, to instead offer that unconditional, non-judging love for them. To be able to do as Jesus did, to stretch out our hands and touch that person and say to them, I do choose, just as Jesus did when he healed the leper and he made the leper clean. We know that Jesus chose this important decision, and then he did a neat thing afterwards. He said sternly to the leper, say to no one anything, say nothing to anyone. Instead, just go and show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing for Moses as commanded. In those times, if a person touched a leper, probably by accident, it was said that they must run immediately to the priest and be prayed for and cleansed so they would not contract the disease. So Jesus is telling the leper instead to go to the priest to show him that he is clean and be pronounced clean as well, but yet tell no one of this amazing miracle that happened. And what do we see that the leper does at the end of this passage from Mark? The leper defies Jesus. He instead goes out and proclaims it freely to all the people. He spreads the word that Jesus is no longer, that he spreads the word so much that Jesus can't stay in that town anymore. He must leave that part of the country because all these people are coming knowing that Jesus has healed the leper, has performed this great miracle, and they want Jesus' help as well. The leper chose instead to not keep the word of faith to himself, but instead to share the word. And that is a part of choosing faith, to show God's love to all the people. We ourselves will be called to show God's love, to Christ, the love of Christ to the world as well, when we choose to hold faith for someone. Because that is how our words are, our actions are as well. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans in Romans 10, verse 8 to 10. The Apostle Paul says about our faith, the word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one who believes with heart is so justified, and one who confesses with the mouth is saved. That is what the leper was doing.
when he chose to show his faith, he chose to tell everyone about God's love. He confessed it with his mouth, and he knew he was saved by Jesus Christ. When we first choose to hold space for ourselves and then choose to hold space for another person, we are confessing Jesus Christ to all who are here, who will hear. But most importantly, we are confessing Jesus Christ to the person we want to hold space for. Imagine now that if you have a person you want to hold space for, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a family member as well. And if you were to approach them or call them and say to them, "I want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior," what would their reaction be? They'd probably hang up on you if you're on the phone. They might delete you if you're a Facebook friend. And they could even decide not to talk to you for some time. Really, honestly, if we went to someone and said, and it's even a friend, "I want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior," what would their reaction be? Most likely not favorable, right? Let's take a poll. Do you think anyone would have someone that would respond really positively and say yes right away? Any raised hands? No, no. So instead, I want us to think about holding space for the person and approaching them in a different way to show them the love of Christ, not just telling them they need to have the love of Christ and to accept it, but showing them instead. So in the weeks ahead, I'm going to talk more about holding space and how we can show them that kind of love. I want to close with sharing, if you remember last Sunday, I talked about going to the conference and a special movie we were going to see. And it was so funny because when we were told the movie title, it was called The Choice. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is really weird. So the movie is called The Choice. It's going to come out, I think they said, in the middle of February. It's based on a Nicholas Sparks novel. And if you know Nicholas Sparks, he kind of has this formula of romance, guy and girl meet, guy and girl fall in love, guy and girl have problems. But it all works out in the end. So The Choice is about a guy named Travis and a girl named Gabby, and they are neighbors. They are attracted to each other. Of course, in typical Nicholas Sparks fashion, they fall in love, I think, in the period of 3 days. There's tear-jerking things that happen. I'm not giving anything away, but Gabby does become involved in a very serious car accident where her life is even in danger. And the whole movie deals about all the choices that Travis and Gabby make. The choice to fall in love with each other in the first place, the choice to listen to family and friends or to not listen to family and friends, and the choice to be true to each other. And there's a point where Travis, as he's sad after what has happened to Gabby, he goes and sort of just silently sits for a while. He is praying. He is using his faith. He is asking God to guide him through what is happening in his life. And he's making the choice to choose faith in a way that he hadn't throughout the whole movie. So I want us to think about in our lives and the choices we make, but to also remember, as I said in the beginning, the two most important choices we will make. One is to choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we do that, then we will be able to help others choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to show them God's love and to hold space for them. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you guide us during this time as we think about holding space for others. We know that you are calling us to show unconditional love just as your love is merciful and unconditional for us. We're so thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who we know died on the cross for us, but yet in the mirrors of his ministry before his arrest and death and resurrection, he held space for so many. As he healed the leper, as he helped those in need, as he fed the hungry and clothed the homeless. And even, Lord, after his death, we know that in a way it was holding space for us, so that we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Amen.